Well, you decided this week we'll talk about tefillah to a great extent, but in the context of Purim. Gemara Yud Gimel Amud Beis in Megillah. Amar Hamelech Toivi Kosev La'Abedon V'Aseres Alofim Kikar Kesef and 10,000 Kikorim of Kesef. I will eshkol yidei oisei amlocho lahovi oginzei amelach. So he wanted Achashverosh to grant him a favor. So see him, he has to pay off. Omer esh lokish goli v'yadu alif neisha omar v'hoya ilam. The Rebbeinu Shalilam knew. She'osid holo nishkol shkolam ha'yisrael. That he would attempt to destroy Klal Yisrael with shkolam. Lefika chiktim shikleim l'shiklov. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam placed his shkolim before the shkolim of Haman. The Gemara is a very interesting end. V'hainu desnan, and that which it said, that is what it says. Be'echad be'adu mashmiyam al shkolim balakloy. Now, what is the sequel of the Gemara? The punchline of the Gemara. V'hainu desnan, and this is what we have in the Mishnah shkolim. Be'echad be'adu mashmiyam al shkolim balakloy. If we're referring to the time frame that they gave the shkolim was long before the rise of Haman in the first place. 1,000 years before Haman. More than 1,000, approximately. 1,000 years before Haman. So what does we need? Be'echad ba'adam ha'shmiyam al ha'shkolim. And when did they actually give the shkolim? The shkolim were actually given up until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So what's the Gemara's conclusion? V'hayinu disnan. I mean, if it told us kisisos rosh b'nei Yisrael, that we gave shkolim at that particular point in time, fine. But lefika hiktim shikleim l'shiklov. V'hayinu disnan b'echad ba'adam ashminim ala shkolim ala klon. So it's interesting mashal here. Hainu disnan bechad ba'adam mashkin al shkolim zman the sinas ashkolim koydim shchedish nisan. In actuality, the time for the shkolim is before shchedish nisan. Kadesh yoviu karbonos b'truma chadasha, so that the karbonos should be brought from the new when it is donated. V'zebefurish b'ter. Awa shemashmiyim aleihem bechad ba'adam, that you have to make announcements of this on the first day of Adar, ainam afurish b'ter. The Chachamim shiaru lahachros aleihem yilamid yom yikaidim, tahainu ve'echad ba'adar, ve'hiktim shikleim dekom arocha, hainu lahachros aleihem. So we see the Marsha seems to give an unusual spin to this Chazal. Normally, we learn, and I mean, that's the way I believe it's inherent in the Rishalmi that I spoke about on Shabbos, that the shkolim that they gave in the Midbar are the shkolim that they were makdim to the shkolim of Haman. Here the Marsha seems to take it that which shkolim are we talking about? The shkolim that they give every single year. The shkolim that they give every single year, those are the shkolim that we're talking about. It's a little bit odd because he himself quotes the Tosfos on Daf Tes Zayin. Haman complained, "V'docha asora alfe kikra kaspa." Shamati shasora alfe kikra kesef. Oylin chatzis shekel lecholechad miYisrael. It's a Tosfos on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. It's a complicated cheshbon. The Bach has a whole cheshbon for it. So sheish meos elof kishe yotzim mitzrayim. Ba'omnar sheyitin la'chashverosh kol pidyonim. So he seems to suggest, the Tosfos seems to suggest that what we're dealing with is the shkolim, if I give it in the Midbar. So
how would that work out to 10,000?
But you'll the 10,000 kikrakas. You look at the Bach, the Tosfos on Tezayin and Muralah, the Bach has a whole explanation of how to work this out. That's what I mentioned Shabbos, that the Tosfos says doik v'tishkach, that the cheshbon works out, but he says, check it out. So the Achronim have a good time. explaining how the cheshbon works. So, al kolponim. So from the Tosfos that he quotes is mashma that we're talking about the shkolim that they gave in the midbar, not the shkolim given each year. And he himself quotes, the Marsha himself quotes that Tosfos. Now that's, so I believe that what he's saying is something else. That the schus was that we gave shkolim when we gave the shkolim. That's true. But each year we gave the shkolim, again, that sort of reawakens, revitalizes that schus that we have, because we're still participating in that mitzvah. That's what I think the Marsha has to mean. But so the Marsha is troubled, but what is the Marin Vahainu Disnan? Be'echad ba'ado mashmiyim ala shkolim. According to the Rishalmi that we talked about, it's also understandable because the time of the Shkolim is before Purim. That's why Be'echad Ba'adam Ashmiyam Al Shkolim is because we want to, the Indian of Shkolim is to take place as tied to Purim. So being masked at Schus. But the Mashor ties the Gemara of a Hainu Disnan that Machrizim Al Shkolim. Meaning to say that the mitzvah, according to the Marsha, is the shkolim that they bring. And perhaps we need that it's revitalized each year with the shkolim that we bring. However, the fact that we start to do the mitzvah, we prepare to do the mitzvah, right? And Echad Ba'adah, they tack up signs all over Eretz Yisrael, telling everyone that we have 1 month to participate in the campaign for the Karbonos, for the Beis HaMikdash, that's a very maskir schus. That's mazkir the schus. So what we see from here is, in fact, it's not only the mitzvah itself, but the mere fact that we undertake to do the mitzvah, even if we haven't done anything yet, we didn't get to the mitzvah yet, but being mekabel upon ourselves, taking the initiative with the mitzvah, that already invokes the schus. We don't have to wait until Rosh Chodesh Nisan that we actually have done it. And this is reminiscent, really, of the words of the Rabbeinu Yonah. In Parshas, we find, it says that after Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Klal Yisrael, he told them on Rosh Chodesh, Be'osor l'chodesh hazeh, on the 10th of this month, take away the lamb and put it aside for the Korban Pesach. And then it says, Vayelchu vayaso, and they went and they did. So Chazal say, they didn't go do it now. There was 9 days in between the time that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to them and the time actually that they did it. But once they were makabal upon themselves to do it, the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave them schar as if the asiyah had been done. So once we undertake to do a mitzvah, we have schar for the mitzvah. And from the Marsha we see how enormous that schar is. Schar can be in all different ways. You know, my grandson came to the house today. So he says, he wants a lollipop. That's a schar. He wants a lollipop. You know, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam can give us lollipops too. Whatever they may be. But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam didn't just give a lollipop. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam saved us from Haman. With Be'echad Ba'adam, Ashmiyam Al Ashkolam, that's enough schus to save us from Haman already. So when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam pays, it's not just in a small fashion. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam pays 100 cents on the dollar, top value for the mitzvah. A mitzvah we haven't even done yet.
But wouldn't we have had be chayav mis in order to be subject to Haman?
So that shows you how enormous the schus was. The Gemara says, why were klai so chayav kloy in that door? Because we participated in the suda. So we were guilty of certain things that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam sent Haman. He didn't send Haman without reason. And af al pi kein, not the mitzvah of the shkolim, but undertaking to do mitzvah shkolim. That the fact in the Chodesh Adar was kavu in Jewish history, that be'echad ba'adam mashmiyim al shkolim, that's enough in the Chodesh of Adar to invoke a schus for Klal Yisrael. Apparently in the Golus, we're an Onus. We can't do it in the time of Haman. But since we always did it, and we always would do it, so in Chodesh Adar we had the Schus, and that preempted Haman. So that's how enormous the Schus is.
We really got saved from Haman and Nisan.
But we were, that's when it actually played out. But he was preempted from the beginning. So we see from here how important it is, the initiatives that we take to do a mitzvah. That itself is a phenomenal source. Now, Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared the ground for our salvation. Achar HaDvorim Ha'ila, after the events of the beginning of the Megillah, that Vashti was eliminated, Bix and Beseresh conspire against Ahasuerus, Mordechai plays the pivotal role in saving Ahasuerus' life. After all of this, Achar HaDvorim Ha'ila is my Achar, Amarobo Achar Shaboro HaKadosh Baruch Hu Refu Lamaka. After the Rebbeinu Shalom was created, the Refu Lamaka, the resolution of the problem of Haman was in place before Haman came. Tomre Shlokesh and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makas Yisroel Elim Kim Beri Lehem Refu Atchila. Unless he created the Refu before in Shenema, Kerifi Li Yisroel V'nigla V'on Afrayim. Abul Umo Sa'ilam Eino Kain. His Maka Yisan V'achakach Bara Lahem Refuah, and then the Rebbeinu Shem creates the Refuah for them. Shenemar B'diga Hashem Yisraim Nogo for Rofo. So first comes the Maka, and then comes the Refuah. So the Marsha explains what is the significance of this, which comes first. If Sof Kol Sof, either way, that the person could be merit to the Refuah, that the Rebbeinu Shem takes the problem away. So what's the difference? If the refuah comes first, the refuah comes second. What a person wants to know is that he's going to get a refuah, whether the refuah was in place before he had the problem or wasn't in place before he had the problem. So the Mashal writes the following. The difference is that Klal Yisrael will certainly do tshuva. That is no doubt about. Consequently, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam brings difficulties on Klal Yisrael to prompt us to do tshuva. But the fact that we will do tshuva is a given. And therefore the refuah is in place because it's necessary. The non-Jews, Jewish nations of the world, may do tshuva, they may not do tshuva. Depending on what they, there's no given that they will do tshuva. Sometimes they do tshuva, as the Novi cites about Mitzrayim, sometimes they don't do tshuva. If they don't do tshuva as a kolam agoyim, then those nations will disappear from the world, as we see in the rise and fall of nations in history. The ancient nations of the world have disappeared. They did not do tshuva in appropriate fashion, and the Rebbeinu Shalom eliminated them from the world. So, it's an expression of the nature of Klal Yisrael and its relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that any difficulty that our Rebbeinu Shalom brings upon us is merely to prompt us to do tshuva, and it will, in some fashion, succeed. Some fashion it will succeed. And therefore, the refuah will certainly take place. Because the refuah will certainly take place, the refuah is placed into the world, is brought forth into the world before the difficulty even comes. Where the refuah is up in the air, it may or may not come. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, first do tshuva. If you'll do tshuva, I'll create a refuah for you. But it's not a given. So the Rebbeinu Shalom states that the return of Klal Yisrael to the Rebbeinu Shalom is a given. When the world operates, has its own teva, a different teva, because of it. what it takes, though, is first of all, we need an awareness of the Rabbeinu Shalom. An awareness that our difficulties come from the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the first thing that we have to have. One has to know the right address to go to. So if we're busy chasing after the wrong address, then we're going to go in the wrong direction. And that really is the story of the beginning of the Megillah. There's many years in between the beginning of the Megillah and the end of the Megillah. Right? And the end of the Megillah is the Shnas Shteimes, right? There are 9 years in between, the beginning of the Megillah and the end of the Megillah. 9 years is a long time. A long time. Earlier, the Jews decided, what is the salvation in Persia? To give honor to the king, to come to this massive party that he's making in the palace. That's the road to success. And what was it? It was the road to doom. So the first thing a person has to define is what path is he supposed to take. Until that's defined, there's nothing that I could do. So we have to realize first and foremost that the path that we have to take is the path that leads us to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And if the path steps away and veers away from the Rabbeinu Shalom, then we're doomed. And that's not always so obvious. One has to look very, very carefully and with great depth to understand that. In the beginning of Parshas Ra'eh, we find Ra'eh Anoichi Noisin Lifneichem Hayayim Brochu Klola. The Ra'eh is not just a visual scan. Ra'eh means to be discerning. So, when you tell a person, listen, there are two doors from this roof that's 25 floors up. One of them, you step out and there's nothing outside. You fall 250 feet straight down. The other one has an elevator or a staircase. You don't have to be very discerning to know the difference between the two, which one you should take if you have to get off the roof and which one you shouldn't take. So when we see Re'ei, Anoichi, Noisin, Lefneichem, Hayom, we have to be discerning. So the choices are very stark, Brochu, Klolo. They don't approximate each other. They're very sharply different. So what do I have to be discerning for? So the Balei HaTosfos tell us, called a Medrash, that Moshel Amo HaDavar Doima, this is analogous to someone that comes to a fork in the road. And there are two ways to go. And there's an elderly man sitting at the crossroads, and he tells him, take the road to the right. You're going to that and that city? Yeah. You're on the way to Detroit? Take the road to the right. Don't take the road to the left. No. Both roads seem to lead to Detroit. I look at the roads, one road, a four-lane superhighway, graded, beautiful. I look at the other roads, dirt roads, ruts all over the place, not graded at all, stones all over the place, and I'm going to drive 600 miles on this road. And yet this fellow sitting at the crossroads is telling me to go on that road. So, very inclined not to listen to him. So I'm going on the superhighway, not listening to this guy. I'm going to drive forever on this road, 600 miles to 700 miles. What I don't know is that 10 miles down the road that the superhighway ends and it's all a dirt road the rest of the way. And 10 miles down the dirt road, a superhighway begins and goes all the way. So, we look at a lot of things. There are things which look easy to accomplish, appealing, things which don't look so appealing. Now we have to be discerning to see where ultimately they lead, what conditions it's going to put me into. And That's not always so obvious. So the first thing we have to define is what's the cause, where we headed. Now, if we have defined that, the realization that the Rabbeinu Shalom has created this situation to bring us closer to Him. So we find very interestingly, it says when Esther came to Ahasuerus, so came when she yielded the base at Slomim, she came to the place where he had his idols, is this Talka Ashkena. I'll go back a step. I'm a step ahead. Chazal ask a very interesting question. That for what reason did Esther invite Haman to a party together with her and Ahasuerus? What was she out to do? If she wanted to do Haman in, so she should make a tete-a-tete with Ahasuerus and tell him, listen, I have trouble with this guy Haman, and I'm the queen, so just take his head from me, and that's it. But what was she inviting him for? What was the purpose in all of this? And the answer is less than obvious. Chazal give a string of different answers to this question. Tona Rabbanan, Marosa Estesh Zimnes Haman the Gemara Tesvavam at base. Why did she invite him? Rabbanazar Aimer Hachim Tomnolo. She was looking to trap him in some way that he should be guilty of some misstep and she would be able to finish him off. And therefore she wanted him around. Because so I had the chance to trap him some way. She didn't know how, but if he's around, maybe he'll make some misstep. Oh. That's number one. Shenema Yishulchanim Lefanecha Lefach. Rabbi Yeshua Aimer Beisavi Olimdo Shenema Amrov Senecha Achilei Olecha. So apparently, maybe to attempt to appease him by giving him such honor. Rameir Omer Kadeshalo Yitol Eitz of Yimrit, that perhaps will catch wind of what's going on and will organize a rebellion against the king. So, this way, she left him with a great deal of difficulty. Right? When he finally has to, he comes home from the party and he's with his wise men a whole night, and Vayavhilu Lahovias Homan, he does not have time really to think through his situation clearly. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer Kadeshalo Yakiru Boshi Yehudis. So she shouldn't be suspected of being Jewish. What Jewish woman would invite Haman, the arch enemy of the Jewish people, to a party? So nobody would believe that she's Jewish after that. If they thought she's Jewish, they wouldn't listen to her. Rabbi Nechemya Aimer Kadeshalo Yomer Yisrael Achos Yeshlon Abbeis HaMelech. Apparently there were some Jews that knew that she was Jewish. So they would say, listen, we're going to survive this. Why? The queen is a Jew, so she's not going to let us get killed. And they will not daven as they should. Rabbi Yossi Aimer Kadeshi Motzilo B'chalais. Ulai Tuchal Achshilo B'shem Dovul Lefnei HaMelech. That maybe she'll be able to find some way that he'll insult the king or something, which ultimately did happen. Rabbi Shimon ben Asya Omer Ula Yargish Hamokom V'Yaselanu Neis. That maybe this will arouse the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to Sha'afan to do a Nes. That they'll see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam sees that even the Jews are already, you know, involved in such activity. Or Rashi says a second shot that I have so much to curry favor, I have to flatter even someone as evil as Haman. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Aimer Asbir L'Oponim G'deisha Yehore Kuvahi, that Ahasuerus will suspect that there's something going on between myself and Haman. Why else did I invite Haman here? And therefore he'll get angry. Listen, he killed his first wife, so he'll kill me and I'll kill Haman. But the Jews over here to Haman. Rabbi Gamliel Aimer Melech Hafchon Hoya. He was a person of a very changeable mind, not stable in his views. And therefore she was afraid that if she went to meet with Ahasuerus and she convinced him to kill Haman, by the time he implemented it, so he would change his mind again. So this was a way she wanted Haman nearby, so if she convinces Ahasuerus to kill him, we'll kill him on the spot. And that's it, it'll be over with. That's what happened. Haman was there, the king got angry at him, and that's it. He sent him off and he had him hung. There was no time to change his mind. Omar Rabban Gamliel Adayin Tzrichom Onor L'Modoy. We need the reason of Rabban Elozer Amadoy. The Sanya. Rabban Elozer Amadoy said the following. Kin Oso B'Melech, Kin Oso B'Sor. That apparently, I think what the Gemara means is that she aroused Kino against him. In other words, the other ministers of the government will be envious of him and they want to do him in. She, in other words, she got the king upset that the king will suspect there's something going on with him and her. And the other ministers of the government will also think, what is this guy, this newcomer, all of a sudden he's more important than all of us. Rabba Omar Lefnei Shevra Goyin. Before someone falls, he's built up. That he'll get to drinking and he'll get to nuts and therefore he'll do himself in. So we have a whole roster of reasons. So Rabba Bar Avu had the schus to meet Eliyahu Anovi. So what's the truth? I have about 10 different reasons. So who's right? They're all right. She schemed in every different direction. How she would succeed, she did not know. But all of these possibilities she took into mind. And therefore she rolled the dice on all of them. Hopefully one of them would succeed. But she rolled the dice on all of them. Now, one of the points in this Gemara is that shalo yasichu daitom in atfilah. They should not lose sight be yasichu daitom in arachama. Why? Because achos lono waves amelach. They were in a pretty desperate situation. And until one is actually spared, the desperation is very great. And yet, the fact that there was a Jewish queen could lead them to feel a certain measure of complacency. They won't be prompted to the same level of tefillah before the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's in the bag. And therefore, what did Esther do? Esther, her only choice was to force them to feel abandoned, so that there's no one else to turn to except the Rabbeinu Shalom himself. And here's where we find one of the paradoxes of the Megillah. We see events through different eyes. We see moments, the same moment, but through different eyes. If I'll ask you the following question, what was the moment of greatest desperation for the Jews? And what was the moment of Haman's most triumphal moment? The Sudo, the first day. Right? The second day was already checkered. Right? He came to the second Sudo, he wasn't in good shape anymore. He was over with Chafurish. But the first day, he's sitting on top of the world. That's from Haman's eyes. From the eyes of Klaus, this is the most desperate moment. The one hope that we had, the Jewish queen, she also abandoned us. And yet, what was the reality of that moment? The reality of that moment was exactly the opposite. The salvation of the Jewish people came from the tefillah of that moment. And Haman was already ensnared. The jaws of doom are closing around him. And yet he had no idea. He didn't see it coming. And within 24 hours, it was all over for him. And yet he had no inkling of what was about to happen. He was lulled. That moment, the moment that she pushed Klal Yisrael to tefillah, and she goes to the first Suda with Haman and Achashverosh, that's the pivotal moment in the Megillah. When everything that we look at and everything that seems to be true is otherwise. What we believe to be reality is a mirage. There's nothing there. But it's not enough to be mispalo. There's another aspect to this as well. The Gemara says that when she came to the place of the tzlomim, of the idols of Achashverosh, the Shekhinah left her. Shenemar keli keli lama azavtani. That's in the Mizmor of Ayelas Hashachar, Mizmor Chavbe is the Mizmor of Purim. So then she makes Shema Atadon al Shoygi kemezid v'al oynes karotzim. We'll use the Marshos Pshat. It says al tifnu al alilim. You shouldn't come to a base away the Zohar. But I'm coming. I had no choice but to come. I have to save the Jewish people. So that's why I'm coming. So therefore, the Shekhinah should leave me. Oshem al shakarosiv kelov, because I called him a kelov. Shenemar atzila micherev nafshi miat kelov yichidosi. Chozro b'karo arye. So then she referred to him. We'll see who the hymns are soon as a lion. Shenemar osheini v'pi arye. So what took place over here? What happened because she called him kelov yichidosi? And what changed because she said osheini v'pi arye? So the Marsha is a very, very interesting pshat. And this Gemara tells us the following in the Marsha, that for Omra Oud Shemal Shakaros of Kelev Umavur, that needs someone a Kelev Ra, if a wild dog is chasing you down the street and you manage either to smack him in his nose or to get away from him. Eino kol kach nes, it's not as big as a nes, it's kimina nitzom epi arye. If you're walking down the block, right? A few years ago in the summer, they had a zoo in Forest Park, right? And the tiger got loose and was running on Saturday afternoon, Shabbos afternoon, was running on the Interboro Parkway. You know. Now, if you have the misfortune, you know, to be walking and the tiger's coming by and a lion's after you and you escape, that's a nes gadol. Oh, shuvada kin nes gadol, kin yin daniel. L'fishe yichoshva matchila litlois atzara bahama. She thought that who was the who that the Gemara is referring to, that Haman is the source of the problem. Shu dimyon akelev. And she compared him to a dog. He wasn't such a huge, he was a tzor, but he wasn't the king. So this wasn't the ultimate difficulty. Mizeu sha'omer, the Marsha is a very interesting thing. She says in the Tillim, it says, Hatzila micherev nafshi, which the Rosh Tevis are of Haman. Hatzila micherev nafshi, and miyad kelev. So that also is the oisios of Bemuchan, it's Haman. So she was being mispalo because she thought Haman was the source of the problem. Sharoshi Tevas Haman Mamuchan. But Eino came. This was not the nature of the problem. Shatzorhi Gamin Amelach Kedamino Le'el. The Tzorah stems from the king himself. The Gemara said that I gave a moshel that there was a man who had a huge mound of earth and he wanted to get rid of it and didn't know. So his next door neighbor had a huge pit. So they made a deal with each other. So he says, this was the same, the relationship of Haman and Achashverosh, the Balatel and the Balacharitz. Shugam daita hoya l'ro. And therefore, Uboy Afushe Rachme Tvei Lios Nitzolim Benes Godol. So now they truly need a very great nace. Gulekach chozra betvilos of Orma Hosheini vipi Arye, daita vimach shobar ro shalamelech. If the Arye is the Melech, If the melech is against you, then you really have a big tzar. This is a super tzar. And this needs a neskodl. So what we see from the mashal teaches us is the following. That the, what was wrong with when she said kelev yichidos, it was not that the expression was wrong, but the expression misgauged the level of the difficulty that was involved. She thought, I have to be saved from a wild dog. A wild dog is not a nes golem. It's certainly not it's not a phenomenalness. You know, no one, you're not going to come to Shul Shabbos and have everyone gather around to hear your story of how you got away from the wild dog. If the lion chased you down the street, you know, and you escaped from it, and they picked it up in the news, when you come to Shul Shabbos, you'll have a huge crowd around you to hear your tale. That's a nes gadol. Tefillah, we have to understand the enormity of the situation that we face. It's not enough that we realize the Rabbeinu Shalom is the source. Not enough that we realize we have to be mispalo, but we also have to know what is the source of the problem. Is it Haman? It's one level of problem. It's the Melech, it's a different level of problem. And the tefillah has to be commensurate with that. And if my tefillah is not commensurate with that, is a feeling of nistalka shchina. Somehow I'm not accessing the shchina. I'm not reaching the Rabbeinu Shalom. He remains veiled. Why? Because my tefillah didn't reach the appropriate level yet. So, it's the realization that the Rabbeinu Shalom is the source of the problem. It's the realization that tefillah is the resolution of the problem. And to realize the enormity of the problem and what type of tefillah that I have to have. If one is able to achieve that, he lives in this world on a different plane. Why? Because he senses the necessity of drawing closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And the task is enormous. Chazal tell us that what happened after the first day, Haman leads Achashverosh around town, takes him around, leads him around, all his Ovel v'chafui roish, took him all over the place, he comes back, Ba'ayla who know the Doshnas HaMelech, the whole story. He took him around town, before they came to the party. Now, what happens? Haman finishes that day. Is Ovel v'chafui rosh. Ovel, it says his daughter committed suicide, she shamed him, chafui roish, the humiliation that he suffered. And he returns, Ovel v'chafui roish. What was Mordechai's reaction to that day's events? Vayoshav Mordechai al Shar HaMelech. Shav el Tani, right? El Sakov el Taniso. He went right back to where he was. What happened? Haman was broken by the day's events, and Mordechai is unmoved. It was a yekel. Didn't react. Nothing. Unfeeling. The Baal Bitochen knows that we are in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Solely in the Rabbeinu Shalom's hands. The Yeshua hadn't come yet. The day's events were a good omen that Mordechai's star was starting to rise and Haman's star was starting to fall. That took place. And Haman was aware, in fact, of its significance ultimately, as Chachamim told him. can be Zera Yehuda Mordechai Asher Echilos Alin Polifonov Suchal. Why? What did it have to do with Mizera Yehuda? This is a question of power politics. Right? Who has right now the in? Who's in the ascendancy in the eyes of the king there? It's what's relevant, what his background is. So Chazal say, the Gemara tells us in the Megillah, the derech of the Yehudim is that when they rise out of Shamayim. Once they start to rise, there's no stopping them. He not fall deep on the phone, he'll be shattered. It's an omen. Haman becomes is aware of that omen. Mordechai is equally aware of that omen. More so than Haman. But Mordechai is Shobel Sakal El Tanisa. The Yeshua hasn't come yet. He has to return to Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Omens don't resolve his problem. The tshuva is tefillas for Klal Yisrael. The schusim that it will have, that's the hatzalah of Klal Yisrael. The omens are not going to save Klal Yisrael. Sometimes one has an omen, and if we don't follow through appropriately on that omen, we do not merit the fulfillment of what it indicated. The Novin Shoiftim tells us that the Malach says came to Gidon, and it says Leich Vayishatas Yisrael, go save Klal Yisrael from Midian. Then a pasuk afterwards it says Leich B'Koyach Achozev Vayishatas Yisrael, go with this koyach and save Klal Yisrael. What took place? So Rashi tells us the Malach came to him and told him to go save Klal Yisrael. The Rabbeinu Shalom came to me and told me to do it. So if he sent me to do it, so he's telling me I'm going to succeed. He says, that night, he went to the Seder. It was the night of Pesach. And he sat at the Seder with his father. And he says the following to his father. Tell me, he says, why was Klal Yisrael saved in Mitzrayim? For what reason? Were they people that had merit before the Rabbeinu Shalom? So that in that schus, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should save us. Perhaps you'll tell me that they were not worthy people. And yet the Rabbeinu Shel Olam saved them. It was a matnas chinam. So why are we any less worthy of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's matnas chinam than they were? So leich v'yishatas Yisrael, leich b'koich ha-chozer, Rashi quotes Chazal, with the fact that you were melamed schus in Klal Yisrael, that they're worthy of being saved, now you'll succeed. If he merely had the first vision of the Malach and he didn't follow through with the schus of being melamed schus and Klal Yisrael, he would have failed. Yeah, the Rebbe Hashem told him to do it, but it is dependent on his doing everything that he's supposed to do. Mordechai had an omen from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The fact that Haman was placed in this difficult situation on his behalf was an omen that Mordechai's fate was destined to rise and he would succeed. But what's it dependent on? It's dependent on the schusim that he has, on his tefillah, on his tainus, on sako vel tanisa, on his tshuva. And therefore Mordechai, with the full realization that everything in the world is dependent on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it's unchanged. Yishabel Sako Bel Tanisa. Because he understood before the omen that he's in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's hands, and he understands after the omen that it's still in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's hands. And therefore he has to do what he's supposed to do. And he's unchanged. Haman, the person that lacks bitachon, with each movement that takes place around them, he's thrown. There's no stability to his situation because he's looking from the eyes of a mortal human being in this world, watching the political winds. Yesterday, he was riding calm. So sure of himself, he undertook to murder Mordechai. And he arrives at the palace of the king, and now he's Mordechai suddenly finds favor in the eyes of the king, and he is the one that has to go around and give Mordechai this honor. The person that has bitachon in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is steadfast in his ways. He realizes the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the source. He realizes he needs tefillah. He realizes the enormity of the tefillah that lies before. And he's steadfast until the end. Until he sees the Yeshua from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, he doesn't relent. The person, and that's really the call of Purim, Rabbi said. The call of Purim is to realize the Klal Yisrael and Golus, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is sending us a message. What do we have to do? We have to be mispalel. We have to understand the depth of the challenge before us. If not, we'll make the initial mistake of Esther, confusing the Kelev with the Aryeh. And the steadfastness of Mordechai, unchanging throughout everything that takes place. It's the message of Yosef Purim. And I've mentioned many times before, Purim is an Eitz Rotzon to Tefillah. I've told you many times before, the Rebbetzin, Zosi Zayin Gesund, is my mother-in-law's family are craven of the Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yoel Zechut Tzadik Livracha. They have the same ancestry. The Rebbetzin, as a young girl, used to bring Shalach Monos to the Satmar Rebbetzin on Purim. And she was allowed into the house because she was a relative. So she came on Purim, and you understand that the Rebbe could not let everyone into the house, you know, with the huge kehillah that he had. But he had a special time on Purim that she observed, that childless people he let into the house, and he used to sit and cry with them and be mispalel with them on Purim. Purim is an Eis Rotzon for Tefillah. That's the yisoid of what we saw in Chazal. The dynamics of Purim, what a realization of the tefillah, of the koyach of tefillah, and that koyach exists each year on Purim. But we have to grasp it with both ends. In the midst of the Megillah and the Shalach Monos and everything else, to realize it's a time to be mispalel for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and it's a particular Eis Rotzon delight on us. Thank you.